Hey folks, I'm the Bearded Prof, and I'm here with another episode of Just a Guy, Between Two Epochs. On the last episode, I covered expansions and contractions and the way in which ESD works its way back to PEG. In today's episode, we talk about how ESD changes. We'll start with a little bit of history on how ESD was created, then we'll make sure and talk about the process by which a change occurs. And at the very end, we'll examine how ESD is currently changing, what the current change that's being advocated to the protocol is, how it works, and what it would do to ESD as a whole. So let's get started. ESD was started by an anonymous team of developers. They chose to remain anonymous in order to avoid regulatory pressure that might come from the US federal government or other governments. And it's probably a good thing to point out that ESD was inspired by BASIS. BASIS had a lot of the same mechanics as ESD, but BASIS actually had to stop before they even got started. And the reason for that is their lawyers saw regulatory restrictions on the horizon, and they were right. The Stable Act was introduced just last week, and that act requires stablecoins to get a bank charter. With an anonymous dev team, it's really hard for them to enforce that act. And so that is one of the main benefits of ESD having started with an anonymous dev team. They are free from regulatory pressure from the federal government, from not just the United States government, but from other governments as well. And this is why being a decentralized stablecoin is so interesting. If it was a centralized stablecoin, then this legislation, which has not been passed, would likely go directly after ESD. But in the position that we're in right now, it's unlikely that it will affect it. It's not impossible, but from my understanding, it's unlikely that the legislation will affect ESD. Now, being free from governmental regulation and governmental pressure in trying to create a stablecoin isn't all great, right? That they're an anonymous dev team. What's to prevent them from, you know, a rug pull or shutting it down or whatever? Well, since the very beginning, within 24 hours of the development of ESD, ESD was a democracy. And it's important to understand what that means. It means that if you have ESD tokens bonded to the ESD system, you have voting rights and voting power. You get to direct where ESD goes in the future. And all of the different changes that have happened since that first day have been voted on by the community. They've also been advocated for by the community. So let's take a little bit of a deeper dive into what it takes to change ESD. Under the status quo, you need 0.5% of the total ESD supply in order to recommend a governance change. Then that governance change will go to a vote of the body. And in order to vote, you would need to be bonded to the ESD system. And once you cast your vote, that ESD is locked until the vote is over. So someone proposes a new protocol. You see that it's been proposed in Epoch 301. The voting ends in Epoch 310. And you vote in Epoch 301. That means that ESD that you used to vote is locked until Epoch 310. You can't do anything to it. You can't move it. You can't do anything with it. During those 9 epochs, people in the community will discuss whether this is best for the project. In order for a new protocol to pass, a new proposal to pass, you need 20% of the total bonded ESD to have voted. And then 50% of those people need to have voted for the proposal. So in order to make what's called a quorum, you need 20% of the total ESD that's out there. And then in order to win, you need 50% of that. Let's dive into an example. EIP 8 was a proposal that actually changed the governance rules regarding how to get a proposal passed. So I just explained to you the rules of how to get a proposal passed, but those rules were actually different not that long ago. It was proposed in Epoch 231, and it was voted on in Epoch 240. Mind you, we're currently in Epoch 283, so not that long ago. The rules used to require 33% for a quorum and 1% for the proposal threshold. But the community thought that as we start to grow, having a proposal threshold of having 1% of all of ESD was a little too high. Having a quorum of 33% was a little too high. And so they changed the rules so that making proposals for changes in governance are a little bit easier. At this point, we should understand why there is an anonymous dev team associated with ESD. And that is because there are certain benefits that come from having an anonymous dev team, namely regulations and governments can't really come after a dev team when they don't know who they are. The risks that are associated with that are single point of failure, right? That one person can rug pull or one person can just shut down the project just because they feel like it. And the way that ESD has protected against that risk is by having a democratic system where people who have their ESD bonded to the system are the ones that are voting on any changes in governance. And by governance, I mean the rules that run ESD, that run the protocol that manages this elastic supply coin. All right, we understand the history. We saw it applied to a situation where the governance changed. So we saw how it actually played out. And so now let's take a look at the current proposal that is happening in ESD right now. And that's EIP 10, the creation of ESD's treasury. This was proposed in Epoch 279. And between Epoch 279 and 288, anybody who has ESD bonded can use that ESD as their votes on whether or not we should pass EIP 10. Now, what is the creation of a treasury? And the creation of that treasury has both an on-chain implication and an off-chain implication. And what I mean by on-chain, I mean has to do with the actual protocol. And what I mean by off-chain is things that aren't happening directly on the protocol, but are happening in real life or that actual people are going to be doing. Let's start with the on-chain implications. If this proposal is passed, then code will be committed so that 2.5% of future expansions goes into the treasury. And before that, 500,000 ESD will be minted, and that will start the treasury. Now that 500,000 in ESD and then the 2.5% of future expansions goes to a wallet. And that wallet has 7 different people that manage it. And in order to spend that money, it requires 4 of those 7 people to agree. Now, these 7 people are people that were selected from the community. They are people that have a lot of skin in the game when it comes to ESD. They want to see the project succeed. But we still want checks and balances on those 7 people, right? We want assurances that they're not going to go buy a yacht or a chateau. And of course, requiring 4 of the 7 of them to approve whatever the treasury ends up doing protects us against some type of self-dealing or anything that would be untoward or unsavory happening with the money that's supposed to be in the treasury. And at this point, I think it's important to know that the treasury, the people that are the managers of that wallet, aren't deciding how the money is spent per se. The way that that happens is on snapshot.page, which is an off-chain governance platform, people can make recommendations for what the treasury spends their money on, spends our money on if you're bonded in ESD. In order to make a recommendation, you need $100,000 bonded of ESD at a snapshot, hence snapshot.page, snapshot in time. You can send a proposal if you have 100,000 in ESD. The reason there's that $100,000 barrier is because we don't want the Treasury to be overburdened with people spamming different requests or different things that they want the Treasury to spend their money on. We want someone to prove that they have some skin in the game. And 100,000 is not so great that nothing will get proposed from the community, that you could find someone with 100,000 ESD that will make a proposal for the betterment of ESD. And once that proposal is made, on Snapshot, the community gets to go vote as to whether or not we should pass that proposal in a similar way that you would vote for protocol changes. The difference here being that you don't have to be locked in order to vote. Once you vote on a protocol, your bonded ESD is locked until the vote is over, until it either passes or doesn't. With a Treasury proposal under EIP 10 and using Snapshot, you wouldn't be locked. You could vote. The ESD that you own is the amount of your vote, and you could then go and use that ESD. It wouldn't be locked, unlike in voting for a protocol where you would vote, and then once you voted, your ESD is locked until it passes or fails. So a little bit of a difference between protocol and Treasury. Now, what those Treasury proposals are for isn't really specified at this time. EIP 10 is very specific to the creation of a Treasury, not what that money is going to be spent on. And the reason is because that should be directed by the community, not this proposal. There are other protocols that are governed by a Treasury that is similar to what we're doing here. YFI is doing that right now, and they're doing what are called retroactive grants. So someone could do a project for YFI, they could apply for a retroactive grant and see if that's approved by the Treasury. That's something that certainly you could see happen in ESD, although that hasn't been specifically advocated for by this EIP. It's just something that could happen. You could also see a scenario where they used some of the money to figure out how to develop partnerships with other DeFi projects or spend money on business development so that we could go and have ESD represented by someone, and that someone would have to be paid for their time since there is no management board, since there is no, you know, CEO of ESD, and yet ESD needs representation, we could pay someone to do that out of the Treasury. And what's nice about this is no one person gets to consolidate power. That these Treasury funds are voted on by 4 out of 7 people at the very least. The proposals are recommended by the community, and they're narrow in scope, at least somewhat narrow in scope. Additionally, it allows for ESD to be nimble going forward, that it allows for a little bit more mobility than, say, waiting for everything to come through governance. Because the Treasury can spend money on longer-term projects like advertising or advocacy or business development or any number of things. So in my estimation, the easiest way to think about EIP 10 is that it's creating a Treasury that really allows for long-term planning of ESD's future by way of creating financial security for executing those projects. All right, if you've been listening to the podcast, you know what time it is. It's time for your quiz. Question 1. What is the threshold amount of ESD required to make a proposal that changes the protocol? And the answer? 0.5%. Remember, this used to be 1%, but EIP 8 changed it to 0.5%. Question number 2. What percent of bonded ESD must vote on a proposal to make a quorum. Some of you may be thinking, what is a quorum? The answer is 20%. 20% of bonded ESD have to vote in order for the proposal to have any shot at passing. And once that 20% or quorum has voted, 50% of the people that did vote have to vote yes on the proposal in order for the proposal to pass successfully. Question 3. The anonymous dev team can continue to manage the protocol and change anything they want. True or false? The answer? False. The dev team is responsible only for changing the protocol if and when the community votes to. The devs themselves cannot change this protocol. It would have to come from the community. Question 4. EIP-10 creates a treasury. Who controls the money that goes into that treasury? The answer? ESD holders. The way that the treasury works, or at least the way that EIP-10 is set up, is that if you have 100,000 ESD, you can make proposals. Then it's voted on by the community using Snapshot. After that, the multi-sig wallet executes whatever the community has said to do. All right, that's it for us today, folks. If you think I got anything wrong, please go ahead and find me on the Discord. I'm on Twitter at SSDavari. I'm on the Discord at The Bearded Prof. Drop me a line. Let me know what I've got wrong. I do want to mention that in future episodes, I will say if I've gotten anything wrong in a previous episode. And I think that's an important part of this process, recognizing that you don't always get things right the first time. Crypto is a space where you have to continue to be on the cutting edge and continue to learn, especially when it comes to a new project like Empty Set Dollar. I am having a great time doing this, and it would be even greater if you would subscribe to the podcast, tell your friends so that they can learn what ESD is. I do want to end by reminding everyone, I am just a guy. I'm just a bearded professor trying to figure out this project. But I do want to thank you for tuning in to another episode of Just a Guy Between Two Epochs.